So Ben, you had a, did you have a bluegrass background? Did you have a love for that? Were you really like picking when you were a young person?
Not at all.
Okay.
No, I grew up, I was born in Illinois and we lived in central Illinois until I was about five. And then we moved to LA, which would be lower Alabama, for 2 years. And then right before I started fourth grade, my parents moved to Dixon, Tennessee, which is about 45 minutes west of Nashville. And so that, prior to arriving in Nashville, I heard a lot of music through church, and my dad also had an obsession with ragtime piano, which was totally random, so, and kind of had some funk in there, and I always had some tapes and stuff that I liked, and things that I was drawn to, like, but we moved to Nashville, and by the time I was in, halfway through sixth grade, the music teacher, Mr. Brock, one day brought an acoustic guitar to class, and I went home that day and was like, man, I want a guitar. That was cool. And so then like a month or two later, I have a guitar and I'm taking guitar lessons in Dixon from a man named Doc Stone, who was the guitar player in the Opry band for a few years in the 70s and toured with some 70s country groups. And so Doc taught us. He lived in Nashville, but he traveled to Dixon a couple days a week and taught lessons and ended up teaching lessons in groups, ensembles. So I learned how to like play in bands, basically. Guitar lessons was like basically going to band practice that's supervised by a guy that knows what he's doing. And so, you know, and he had different bands. He had like a bluegrass band and this and that. But the band I was in, like, I mean, he taught me such a wide variety of music. Like, he taught me, I knew who Tony Joe White was when I was 12. You know, I knew like how to play, Poke Salad Annie, and I knew that Tony Joe White wrote Rainy Night in Georgia, you know, and, like when I was 12, and I knew.
So he was schooling you.
Yeah, and I knew Schoolboy Crush by the Average White Band. Like, I knew that song when I was 12, you know, like, and I knew some bluegrass songs, and like I knew B.B. King, and like, so nice. He taught like a wide variety, but also knew like Owner of a Lonely Heart, or like, I mean, Motown stuff. I mean, he taught like such a wide variety of stuff.
Yeah.
And then he taught it in a band, so I really, he didn't really harp on theory so much, but he taught us how to be professionals, like, and we ended up doing our recitals at the Ryman, because the Ryman almost went under in the late 80s, early 90s, and it was saved, and they kind of revitalized it and redid it, and right when it opened, you know, there's nothing going on there, and the guy at the time that was managing the Ryman was one of my guitar teacher's friends. Okay. And so he finagled where like every December we'd do our recitals at the Ryman.
Wow.
So like, you know, he'd have all his bands would go and we'd play a few songs at the Ryman, which was so legit and awesome. And like, you know, my band always got to do the sound check. And I mean, it was just really crazy, you know, and like they treated us like, you know, we were real, like really there. I mean, we were there, but you know, it was like the whole thing was like, you know, we were taught like, this is how you act in this environment with the band, and like this is, you know, and so that being said, like I always knew that Nashville was like a thing, you know, and I didn't live there, but I lived outside of it, and I always knew that like Nashville is like a musical thing, and that's like a big deal, right? And so I get older and I go to college, and like I'm kind of just messing around with music. I'm not majoring in music. And then early 2000s, like, you know, I'm like a big fish in a small pond, if you will, like teaching music lessons of like an hour east of Nashville and playing in college bands and, you know, whatever. So Dorothy and I get married and we move to Nashville, and I keep teaching music for a few years in Cookeville, and I keep traveling back to Cookeville to teach lessons. But then when we bought the house where we're in now in 2008, it was kind of like gas was expensive, and I was just like, I can't keep driving back to Cookeville hour 15 one way to teach music lessons, so I have to find something else to do. And that's kind of when it was like, all right, you're gonna have to like learn, you're gonna have to become a Nashville musician, you know. And it's like, honestly, I didn't think I was good enough, or I didn't think that like I belonged. I was kind of scared of it, you know. And not long after moving here, I found the old time jam and at the Five Spot, which at the time was just ridiculous, like right. It was peaking, you know, like, I mean, everybody and their brother was going there. So I kind of learned how to play bluegrass by going there, and I also learned how to perceive, to have my own perception of myself as a legit musician there too, because great. I didn't really know how to play bluegrass, and here I am showing up every week with like Casey Dreesen and like all these people, and they're and the thing about the bluegrass tradition is like it's so welcoming, you know, and you don't have to be the best. You can stand out on the back side of the circle and play and learn, and it's like it's just how it's done, and like and it's not a big deal. And so by going there, I kind of talked myself into like, hey man, you belong, and you're a good musician, and like you don't have to do everything, because you know in Nashville like there's musicians that can do everything on every instrument. And when you first get here, you're kind of like, oh, I gotta know how to do all that, you know, like in order to like to be a Nashville musician. But that's not true, you know. It's like it's not true in any art or any job. You know, everyone has different things they're good at, and some lucky people just can do it all. But so anyway, I mean, like when it came to the band, it was, you know, like being from here, I don't know. I don't guess I've ever really had like a chip on my shoulder or anything to prove by like, well, we're from here and blah, blah, blah. Cause I mean, I think Nashville's musically and non-musically, but Nashville's such a melting pot of people, and especially in the musical communities, like that people are just happy to be here, and they come from all over the world to live here, to become better at what they're doing and to meet other people to do what they want to do. And because of that, everyone is like, for the most part, is like very helpful. It's not super backstabbing, like, you know, and so it was, you know, it just wasn't like, it didn't matter that I was from here. And so like, I think like, as far as us writing our music or stuff, I mean, there might be songs that we've written that, you know, have to do with areas that we grew up, or stories that, you know, Dorothy's written some stories, like things that were about things that happened in locations close to here, but you know, but I don't think that's just us drawing from our life's experiences.
You've described, you know, you're coming into your own very, very well. So, all right, swinging it back over to Dorothy, one of the impressions since discovering your talent and hearing you both live, and the first album, which just fell in love with, just, you know, really gets me in the right place, because it is eclectic and it's got some of that wonderful, like, Bill Monroe ancient tone modal minor key stuff that we both love. But I have a big question about you guys, big picture, which is that, have you ever completely devoted y'allself as a duo to putting the duo first, to hitting the road and doing the kind of grinding long-term touring and career development that is almost required for an indie musician to get to that place? You guys have played some wonderful festivals. You played locally a lot, but I've always wondered if you had that secret life, which I don't follow you guys week to week, if you were out there doing that, or if you've always had your jobs in town, making a living, keeping the, you know, building, just growing together and all that, and felt like in another life or time, we might have done that. But I'm unaware.
Yeah. I mean, we talk about this a lot, actually. Like I would say that we've had spurts of doing that, like dedicating, you know, big chunks of time to going on the road and doing that. But I've always had a part-time job. Ben's always had a part-time job. We do. We talk about that a lot. And then, you know, it was kind of like when we made the decision to have a child, you know, we were like, well, that's going to change things a lot. You know, and can we continue to make music with a baby? So I would say that we've never really been like road dogged it, if that's what you're asking. No, we've just I don't know, we've just sort of tried to make music, the best music that we could, with the best people that we could find, and keep it fun, and just try to make it something that we love to do instead of something that we end up hating.
has it been something that that you felt was dragging you down, that like it was too much of a responsibility? Because your point about keeping it fun is important to me, and I think it's part of why your music sounds really joyful and great. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't, I don't know, I would just describe you guys as one of like the best kept secrets in town, like a Nashville band that everybody ought to know, that you'd almost have to live here to really understand and see, you know? But that's only because actually going out there and making a national name and the national venues and the theaters and the, you know, getting to that level is just, it just takes rigorous, brutal work for a period of years. There's almost no shortcut through that.
The music industry right now, and right now being the last 10 years, which is kind of when we started our band in 2010, is just, no one knows what's going on. Everyone will tell you something else is going on. And when we first started, honestly, we didn't really know what we were doing. Mm-hmm. You know?
Who does?
We didn't know what we were doing. Luckily, I think we made some great records, and that was always the point. And now looking back, I'm really proud of that, because I feel like we've always made great records, and there's like a lot of bands that are out there doing it that like have never really made a record that they really like. And I personally like all of our records a lot, and you can see growth through listening through them, but at the same time, we've thrown everything that we had at making our records. And up until this last one, we paid for them all, and we've never had to cut a record short because we ran out of money. Because we kind of always felt like, well, we can go make some more money and make this record. We haven't road dogged it. I mean, I think if we would have started when we were 23, that would have been more of a thing. But like by the time we started, we kind of had already established this life where we owned a house. And so it's kind of been a balance, like how do we get music to be our, you know, the main thing, that the number one breadwinner, you know, and that is the goal. Mm-hmm. And so it has been a struggle to kind of figure out where that line is. But then also, like, I mean, as I get older and I talk to friends who have been out there road dogging it for years, like, I don't know that we've missed a ton, because, like, in ways, I see that our career is just as far along as theirs.
Great, yeah.
Is, and, you know, and they've, you know, I don't know. It's like, it's such a weird thing. And that's definitely been, this kind of ties back into your question about being from here. I think that kind of has been a thing that we've struggled with. It's like, are we real musicians? Because we've never, like, been, as far as the Danbury's, like, we've never been 100% full-time musicians. But it's like, we didn't move here to play music. We moved here because Dorothy had a job here, and, like, we always lived here, and then we kind of made a record.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, people like it. And so cool. We kind of came out of that, and so it's, like, it's such a weird, it's always been a topic of discussion, and, like, where do we go? And, I mean, it's...
Interesting.
It's still there, too. It's
almost its own category of musicians. I could probably find some others who are always on the tentative cusp of that full-time-ishness, but it's not an easy decision to make. It's not, even if there seems to be a clear avenue, I love music, and I wouldn't want to play a body of work 200 nights a year and not see home very often. It would not be my thing. So let's circle back as we wrap up here to the album. It's wonderful. And we talked a little bit about the co-writing, but when you began to get into the subject matter, Dorothy, I know you've been working through some big stuff and doing a lot of therapy, a lot of work on yourself. Was that very much front and center? I don't think that these songs are direct reflections of, I'm trying to express exactly what's going on. They're not literal, but they're it's certainly informed by the work you've been doing with each other and on yourselves. And did that help the writing process? How easy, challenging was it?
Yeah, I would say, well, we started writing this right at the end of the tunnel for me personally, like working through a lot of my PTSD and just all the emotional stuff that I needed to work through. We were kind of like right at the end of it, you know, we can see the light. And so a lot of the material on the album is about that, like, that tenacity, that just, like, you just got to keep going. You just got to keep putting one foot in front of another.
Yeah, the words I wrote down were moving and resilience.
Yeah.
The thematically things that just emerged.
and that's, you know, I feel like I have been through a lot. You know, I have a lot of trauma in my past, and then Ben, as an extension of, you know, being with me in this marriage, he's been through a lot. We've been through a lot, and we kind of have learned over all of these years a lot about, you have to really go inside yourself, and you have to really know yourself to make it out of some of this this pain, you know, and things that hold you back. You really have to work. You can't just sit around and pop pills. You got to go in there and do a lot of work. And I think that comes through, especially on this album, because we were working through so much of it, or we're right at the end of it. It was like kind of right at the end of the healing process for a lot of things. And that's what we want, you know. That was the goal too, is let's write material that gives people hope, you know. That's what I want to listen to, you know. I want to listen to something that makes me feel like I want to get up and go and try to conquer the world and go and be happy and just be joyful. I don't, you know, I can't like listen to songs that are super depressing. And so I don't want to write them. And I'm sure we have written songs that are super depressing, but for this album, it was like,
yeah,
you know, just really wanted to put something out there that was going to help people move through dark things like we have.
Well, you can literally move to this record. You can dance to this record. I mean, it's got it's got funk. So
yeah.
The way you guys bring in musical texture and rhythm to inform that and animate it, I just love. Ben, last word, how have you felt like all of that she's been mentioning was comprehended, understood, received? The record's been out a few months now. Obviously can't tour on it, but hopefully you've been able to have some feeling for the world appreciating it.
We had a great publicist, and we garnered a lot of press here and overseas, which is, you know, like some people write better than others. But, you know, overall, I mean, I don't know. This time I definitely felt like we've gotten more feedback from people we don't know, which is always like it take more to heart.
Yeah.
You know, then and so I feel like it has been received well, and like, I mean, I don't know, like I love the record personally, and obviously it means a lot to us, but I feel like we've sold a lot of records to people we don't know who have like interacted with us like on Twitter or whatever, through posts that had nothing to do with us selling a record, you know, and more, you know, more things about, you know, like trauma or whatever. And so like that to me says that like it's doing what we hoped it would.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think it's been received well. And like, I mean, we've had, I feel like our worth as a band, I hate to put it that way, but like our yeah, outside what other people, like the general public, you know, thinks of our band, or like has gone up, and just in the sense of like the reach. I feel like this record has definitely reached out much further than anything we've done previously, which, you know, you can look at your analytics and all the fun stuff like that and tell that. But no, I mean, it's definitely, I don't know. I feel like maybe our last record, which I absolutely love, it didn't have a genre. I don't know. People couldn't say what it was, you know, and they're like, well, this is bluegrass. Well, that's not bluegrass. Well, this is folk. Well, it's not folk, you know, or this is acoustic music. Well, it's not acoustic music. What is acoustic music? But this record is kind of more like, it's like, okay, this is Americana, or, you know, it's kind of more rock and roll or whatever. And so I feel like that has helped too, like with the reach. It's more of a, because we had an outside producer and Marco, like I felt like the theme of the record is more like together and pointed.
And then this edict to write the record together. That's
right.
All will strike me about this story. And also the fact that the opportunity to make it came out of the blue,
right,
seemingly at a time when y'all just really needed that.
Right.
Yeah.
So I like the divine providence part of this.
Yes, for sure.
You know,
definitely.
Yeah. Beautiful.
But I wish you guys all the luck in the world. I'm glad to see you together and smiling and making great music together. It means a lot to me because I'm a fan. And we will. And the, between the two of you, there's neither a not a gray hair in the evidence. So you have a ways to go too. There's a lot of chapters to write. And yeah. And good luck with Ollie and with everything.
Cool. Thanks so much, Craig.
Thank you.